the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a big Sunday today. We should all know it. Today's every year, right? As we talked about last week, we've entered into this period called Triodion. Now, technically, Triodion starts last week and lasts all the way to Pentecost, because it's the book that has the hymns that are used during this period. But usually when we say, oh, it's Triodion, what we mean is we're in that 3-week period prior to Great Lent, right? We're psyching ourselves out. We're getting ourselves ready. We're mentally and spiritually preparing to go into the arena that is Great Lent so that we can achieve the prize that is Pascha at the end of that Lenten journey. And the church gives us during these Triodion Sundays, these first 3 Sundays, right, that lead up to Great Lent, the church gives us boom, 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 major, profound spiritual messages, right? Stuff that is right at the heart of what is most essential to our salvation, to our spiritual life, to our faith. So last week, it was the publican and the Pharisee, right? And this week, we happen upon the parable of the prodigal son. If you were to take one section of the Bible and take it home, and if it were the only section you could have for the rest of your life, if it were all you could know about God, this might be the section you would want. It's that critical. And there are lots of ways that we can approach today's gospel reading, right? We could talk about how horribly the first son sinned. And that's part of the picture. He did indeed sin horribly, right? And one of the things that I often think about when I contemplate this parable is the fact that at what point do I get my inheritance? Somebody tell me, when do I get my inheritance? When the person, my father, when he does what? Dies. Correct. Right? So in demanding his inheritance early, the son treats his father as if he were dead. Right? And if that's not bad enough, he doesn't take it and start a little company. He doesn't go plant his own vineyards. He spends it, I think the gospel says, upon harlots and loose living. So if we wanted to, we could spend the whole sermon talking about how egregiously the son sins against his father. I'm not going to go any further with that. Suffice to say, he has sinned egregiously. He has sinned gravely against his father. Nothing is going to change that fact, that that's what happened. We could also spend a whole sermon talking about the good son, right? Because the good son is very much like the Pharisee in last week's gospel reading. I'm not even going to walk in the house to greet this bum. He squandered your living. He disrespected. And if anybody deserves to have a lamb slaughtered for a party, it's me, because I'm the good son, this son of yours. That's his response, right? And we could spend all day talking about his spiritual state. And there are certainly many important lessons for us to learn here. But today, and I think rightfully so, where we really need to place our focus, I mean, after all, we are going into Great Lent, is on the Father. Who is this man with such Herculean strength that he forgives the son who left him as dead? And who is this man with such profound wisdom and love that he embraces the son who condemns the other? How deep and profound it is. I don't know if you've seen this bit that's circulating on the internet right now about the seven neglected points about today's gospel reading. But you can Google it, you'll find it. It's a really nice piece. It's about 5-6 pages long, and it goes through and just highlights these really important aspects of the gospel reading. But the two that I like the most, it says, the Father was not angry with Son 1, and he was not angry with Son 2. He wasn't angry with the great sinner, and he wasn't angry with the self-righteous snob. Although both sinned gravely, nobody's saying they didn't. Both sinned gravely, and yet the role of the Father is not to condemn one nor the other. The role of the Father is to forgive sins and reconcile brothers. How often in the church do we look across the pew, say, well, I know the story about that one, right? Oh, I know what she did. I know what he said. Well, I was there on that day to do X, Y, and Z, and where were they, right? Isn't this the narrative that isolates us from one another? Isn't this the narrative that drives us out of the home of our Father? And yet, here is the narrative of the prodigal son. He so loved the world that he accepted the prodigal. He so loved the world that he persuaded the self-righteous. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him. Now note what we hear in John 3:16. It doesn't say he so loved the world that the righteous who believed in him would have eternal life. He didn't say, oh, he so loved the world that the Greeks or the Russians who believed in him would have eternal life. It didn't say, oh, he so loved the world that the repentant who believed in him. No, it's a very simple statement, and it shows not only the universality of Christ's love, but the extreme liberality of God's love. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have eternal life. In that whoever, we have the greatest sinner. In that whoever, we have the most self-righteous. In that whoever, we have the worst gossip. In that whoever, we have everyone. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to save the world. Right? So, the phrase in the prodigal, I'm going to try and say that again. The phrase in the prodigal son parable on which the whole parable turns is this phrase. The son's out in the fields. He's wishing he could eat pig slop because he's so hungry, but his cruel master won't even let him eat the pig slop. And the son comes to himself. He says, I can go back to my father. I realize that I am still his son. He comes to himself. That's what Great Lent is calling us to do. Come to ourselves. Realize that you are sons and daughters of the Most High. And realize that no matter how far you have strayed, He is calling you back to Him. Realize that no matter how far the person across the pew from you has strayed, He is calling the both of you back to Him together. Let us seek forgiveness of our sins. Let us forgive the sins of others. And let us enter into the embrace of our Father who is in heaven. Thank you for your attention. May God continue to bless and keep each and every one. My heart.